Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Briyaki and Jacob are here. Yay.
Whoop, whoop.
Yay.
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 How's everyone doing? Bri, I know you're not feeling well. How's things?
I am puking sick, episode 2 in a row.
Damn.
Yeah. Fun times.
Wait, day 2 in a row of just this week?
No, episode 2 in a row.
Oh. Yeah, I get you now. Because I was oh my God, you were sick last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's basically saying she's been sick this entire time.
Yeah. I feel as bad as I did Friday. Yay.
Damn.
Yeah, I've had some good days in the middle, though. I mean.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Is it just like a stomach bug? Like, have you gone to the doctor or anything?
No, it's a reaction to a medication I'm on, and I just have to ride it out.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. That sucked.
Yep.
You know what that calls for?
Porn.
Speed run.
Oh, that too.
Hell yeah.
Should we do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some game called Silksong released this week. You ever hear of it?
Yeah.
No? You're supposed to say no, dumbass.
Too bad.
Well, we're speed running, so yes, we've all heard of it.
535,000 concurrent players on Steam in the first day.
Which it also crashed.
It didn't just crash.
It broke Steam.
It broke also the eShop. GOG, Xbox.
It broke the Nintendo eShop. It broke PlayStation. Didn't get it up until hours later. Something happened on the PlayStation side, so.
Yeah, basically everywhere it was sold. It broke the store for a little bit, literally everywhere. All the key sellers that like Humble and stuff all ran out of keys and have since had to replace them just that quick.
Little indie that could.
Yeah. And to think,
what was the price on that? Was it like $20 or something?
Yep.
Yeah, which also
$20.
Because Kotaku has an article about apparently is making indie devs nervous because of how much content is and how good it is for $20.
Yeah. So. It's really good when you get a really competent small group who knows what the fuck they're doing. They can build things real good. And then
A very long time.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're building games with the power of friendship. So.
Yeah.
The power of friendship and a shit ton of money from the first game.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Because that's why it took so long, is they decided they wanted to take their time on it because they didn't want to rush it. Because they were
It was supposed to be DLC and they made it to a full game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be just Hollow Knight DLC. And then they're like, well, let's do it right.
Nice.
And now it's out. Now it's here. And now everybody in the world is playing it except for, I think, us.
Yep. Yes.
Cool. It is on Game Pass, which is very good to hear, along with some other games on Game Pass. The latest batch were announced. Not a big batch, but there's some good stuff on here. September 2nd, we got I Am Your Beast.
Okay, awesome. Awesome.
That's from Strange Scaffold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jacob, you'd probably want to play that.
Yeah, I like their games.
I kind of want to play it even. It looked good.
Well, it's on Game Pass, so go for it.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah. Today, that little indie Silksong hit as well as Cataclysmo on the PC. No idea what
Not
that
familiar
is.
With that one.
September 10th, Paw Patrol World.
All right.
Excited, Jacob?
There you go, Jacob.
Game of the year.
And then September 16th, we are getting Roadcraft.
I'm not familiar with that one either.
Like a road driving sim.
Ah, that's why. There.
Not all good news, though. A couple of games gotta leave the service. Three are heading out on the 15th with All You Need Is Help, Wargroove 2, We Love Katamari Reroll.
Fuck, I need to finish that.
Big news this week is that Perfect Dark was almost saved. Take-Two wanted to step in, purchase the rights, and fund the game, but Microsoft wanted to keep the IP long-term, and they couldn't come to an agreement. The game is now 100% dead.
Yep, that's kind of what happens when publishers get too many games. They just sit on the IPs forever.
I think this was issue of the game was in development for how long, and they had nothing to show for it. I think it was a scale-bound situation where it's like, we've invested this much money and it's going nowhere. Let's cut our losses and move on.
That's fair.
PS5 Digital Edition in Europe is getting a downgrade. The storage is going from 1 terabyte back to the original 825 gig hard drive, solid state drive, whatever. This looks to only be for the digital editions in Europe right now. The price is not going down, obviously. And we'll see if it hits other regions in the future or not.
That's ridiculous.
Remember when consoles got better and cheaper?
It's been a long time since that's been the case.
Literally last gen.
Yep. And it's been a long time since then.
505 Games announced Puzzle Quest Immortal Edition. It's coming September 18th on all platforms. Will include the original game, Revenge of the Plague Lord, and The Legend Returns. All for a whopping $15. Hell yeah.
Not bad.
I'm in. Fucking love Puzzle Quest.
I don't know if I've ever played one. I've heard you talk about them before, though.
Have you played Gems of War?
I don't think so.
Wow, that's surprising. Huh. Last bit of news I have. Popular Steam game Bake and Switch is celebrating its 5th anniversary with a little bit of a price reduction. Is getting a permanent price drop from $29.99 to $4.99.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, what game is this?
Bake and Switch on Steam. It is also on the Switch, but the price is still $30 as of this time. I believe it's supposed to drop to $5 on the Switch as well. So keep your eyes peeled on that, but it is $5 on Steam right now.
Dang.
Yeah. Aki, news, what do you got?
Nothing.
Nothing? Bree, news, anything?
Nope.
Aki, did Bree have anything?
Nope.
Jacob, what you got?
So, The Grinch Christmas Adventures has been delisted from at least the Xbox Store. I believe it also got delisted from Steam and PlayStation. So what it seems is that Outright is going to be re-releasing the game with the new DLC that's coming out this holiday season, a la Funko Fusion Deluxe Edition, or whatever the hell they call that release. I'm not thrilled with it either, because they've made it sound like it was just going to be like a DLC download, and now it looks like they're going for like
separate SKU.
Yeah, because you can't even, like as I said, you can't buy it on the Xbox Store anymore. And I'm just like, that really stinks to force people to double dip.
Like, that's a bummer.
Bullshit.
I thought it was okay. My youngest actually still plays it year round.
Really?
He thinks it's fun. Like, he loves the
clunky side. Like, it wasn't bad, but not my favorite thing Outright has put out.
Oh, no, it definitely isn't, but I don't know. He likes it, so, and he's jazzed about the, now it's a re-release. So we got that. Street Fighter is now confirmed for IMAX. Whenever that comes out.
You didn't warn me. It's movie watch.
Oh, sorry.
There.
Street Fighter is now confirmed for IMAX whenever it comes out. We also have our first full cast photo of the different fighters, and I'm like, I don't know who these people are playing, except for Cody Rhodes. And
well, they gave the full list today, didn't they?
I know they did, and I read it, and I don't freaking remember. But anyway, like, I remember that Cody Rhodes is playing Guile, and 50 Cent is playing Balrog, which
that's Andrew Koji is Ryu, Noah Centennial is Ken, Kalina Leong is Chun-Li, Cody Rhodes Guile, Orville Peck is Vega, 50 Cent Balrog, Jason Momoa as Blanka, confusing, Vidyut Jimwal as Dhalsim, Oliver Richters is Zangief, they should have picked me, Hiroki Goto is E. Honda, that's interesting, David Dastmalchian as M. Bison, Roman Reigns as Akuma, Andrew Schultz as Dan.
I forgot that Roman Reigns is in this movie.
Ken Dan is in this. That's amazing. Eric Andre is Don Savage. Mel Johnson, Cammy. I don't know. Reina Ballingham as Julie. Alexander Volkanovsky is Joe. That's interesting. There you go.
Okay, Don Savage is like a background character.
Yay!
He's yeah, well, he's Zangief's announcer.
Injury, so. Thank you for the sub, 22 months. Hope you are doing well. I hope Bree is also doing well.
Yeah, I've only got one more bit of news.
What you got?
Disney Dreamlight Valley news. God, the best kind of news. So the expansion which is called Wish Blossom Ranch, got announced for a November 2025 release. The big deal about this is that we now can ride around on horses. In this DLC, we're going to be getting this huge ranch that's set in like a snowy countryside kind of thing, and you get to get your own horse, I guess, decide like what kind of horse it is. Horses from other Disney movies will be available. Maximus from Tangled is coming. And this also is going to be giving us Snow White and Tinkerbell, which are no real surprises. I mean, Snow White's been hinted at for forever, and Tinkerbell only makes sense because, you know, we already have Peter Pan, and we know we can handle the small characters with Buzz and Woody. There's also going to be a goose, which people are trying to figure out whether, like, we're also going to get goose animal companions, or whether it's a goose from the Aristocrats, like a real deep dive of a character.
Aristocats, you mean?
Significantly
different movie.
That is very true. messed me up on that. So it's going to be a much bigger area. They haven't said whether or not like the horses will be able to be in other expansion areas or even in your own valley. We have a showcase coming up on October 15th, where they're going to go over all the details. And what's really interesting is that it's believed Winnie the Pooh is going to be the bad guy.
What?
So some people theorize that Winnie the Pooh is going to be the bad guy, because apparently in the trailer, at one very brief second, you can see a bunch of honeypots on the landscape. Winnie the Pooh's been like hinted at for quite some time, especially now that he's in the public domain. So it makes sense that we're going to get Winnie the Pooh, but I'm kind of surprised that I'm going to be real surprised if like Winnie the Pooh is somehow like not necessarily like the big bad, but like the antagonist for this expansion. But we'll find out October 15th. Either way, I'm jazzed. But yeah,
very weird.
That's all I got.
Any other news? Anyone? Anything?
Nope.
Are you okay yet? I'm gonna go with a no. Damn.
I think she came back for a little bit and then disappeared again.
Should we jump into reviews? Should we get these started?
Yes. Let's go.
Sure.
All right. First, oh my God, it's 9:10 and we're going into reviews. That's insane. First game to talk about tonight is Daemon X Machina Titanic Scion, developed by Marvelous, published by Exceed and Marvelous USA. Released September 5th on Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, and PC for $69.99. Become the ultimate high-tech warrior in an action-packed new entry in the Daemon X Machina series. Fly into battle in your customized arsenal, unleashing a variety of attacks tailored to your playstyle. Feel the exhilaration of fast-paced combat as you freely explore a deadly and dangerous open world on land or in the air. After taking down your foes, collect their weapons and equipment and upgrade your skills to expand your options on the battlefield. Aki, what is going on in Titanic Scion? Which I gotta say, big ups to Exceed. First game was a Switch exclusive, eventually got released on Steam. Second game, multi-plat. Love to see it. So how is Daemon X Machina Titanic
Scion? I sincerely hope that the first game comes to Xbox at some point, just because I've played this. In this, you play as a self-made character, and you are what's called an outer. Outers are people who have been mutated slash infected by this energy source that everyone uses called Femto, I think is how it's pronounced. And it's mutated animals to make them super aggressive monstrosities. And it also mutated people, turning them into basically the next step of human evolution. And apparently at some point in the past, people got pissed off and started treating outers like slaves, and then they revolted and basically kicked the shit out of everyone because they were clearly superior. And now there's a lot of animosity between them. And you're playing as an outer who has landed down on the planet, because they all live up in a spaceship, in a space colony that's a utopia, basically. And you're there to get back into your homeland because there's a civil war brewing up there, and you need to go collect your friend who helped you escape. And so you're dealing with all these people who have a lot of misgivings about you, while trying to defend yourself from the horde of beasts that make up across this land, as well as other individuals that are also working for the major company, I guess we'll call it, that is where all the outers live, because they have bases all around the planet to collect resources. So you're basically a one-person killing machine that just obliterates everything. If you see it, it must die. And it is good fun. You get a whole bunch of machines that you get to pilot, basically. There's a light, a middleweight, and a heavyweight option for the suits. And you're basically, throughout the game, after you defeat enemies, sometimes you can find new parts on them. The stats are randomized for them. It goes from, like, A to E or F, something like that. Just telling you, oh, this stat is really good, these other stats for this are really bad, so on and so forth. So you can eventually find your way up to a really good tiered item. And with that, you can modify your own suit to create one of a multitude of other suits that you want. Something that's really nice about this is when you get those pieces, it changes the look of your suit completely if you're installing them. But after you obtain them, there is also a transmog system. So you can make your suit look like a completely different suit, or you can make the different parts look like other things that you've had. So that's really cool, because I don't like the look of most of the suits, so I just pick some parts and I'm like, ah, oh, this looks badass. I'm keeping it forever. you also have a shit ton of different weapons, and they fall within a multitude of different types of weaponry. Some of them are like, here's some auxiliary weapons like hand grenades, here's some shoulder mounted weapons like grenade launchers, missile launchers, plasma launchers, you know, rail guns, what the fuck ever. You also have a handful of different types of bladed weapons, from laser swords, standard swords, tachis, knives, so on and so forth, as well as a multitude of different guns that range from the general stuff you have bit in physical and laser variants. Every last one of them you actually get experience in as you use them. So I don't know where that experience ends, because I think I have two of mine at close to 20 at this point. In the demo, they went up to, I think, 5 or 10 or something. And as you get experience towards whatever weapon you're using, you get more benefits for using that weapon. For instance, the weapons I almost exclusively use is I use a laser sword, which is a one-handed blade weapon, and a tachi, because they have different combos that they can do. And for the tachi, I know it's at like level 18 or 19, I think, and I get a whole bunch of extra damage when I'm doing a first thrust, which means the first attack I can be further away, still boost in and hit them, as well as doing more damage. It also does more flinch, and after you hit an enemy enough times and cause enough flinch, they get stunned, basically. It's the stun meter. And it also does a certain amount more extra damage, I believe. So benefits of just sticking with some weapon types are pretty profound. I would suggest playing with all of them. Figure out what you like. I like getting up close and personal and chop suing everything, because swords are pretty fucking badass. They also inflict a ton of flinch, so enemies get stunned a lot. But then there's also like laser shotguns, which are really fun. So yeah, but everything has its own weight, and based on what certain parts of your suit are, whether they're light, heavy, or middleweight, the weight actually impacts you. If you're too heavy for like a lightweight suit, it's not going to say, oh, you can't have this stuff. No, you can still have it, but now you use up more energy when you're flying, when you're running. You don't get knocked back when you get hit as hard anymore, because you weigh too much to get knocked back, so on and so forth. It does a whole slew of different things when you get too heavy, or if you're, for the heavy weights, I assume if you're too light. I've never actually had that problem, because I tend to be light and middleweight. There's not just a extremely large world. It seems large at first, and then it gets larger somehow, because there are multiple places you can go. You land on the world and you see this gigantic map that's split into different sections, and you're like, okay, this is gonna be a big fucking game, but I can do this. And then you play through a handful of levels, and they're like, oh yeah, go to this next section, which is a forest area, and it's another map just as fucking big. And it's like, oh, well, fuck. Okay. And I think there's yet another one after that. I haven't gotten that far, but I believe there's a third, another gigantic fucking map. And there's enemies throughout the whole area. The environments are completely different. Like, the very first area it's more of a rocky canyons and lots of deserty area. And then obviously a forest is a fucking forest. If I have to explain what that is to you, then you probably shouldn't be playing this game or any other game. It is so fun. Oh my god, I have trouble trying to adequately express all the different things in the game without repeating myself, because I just want to mindlessly talk about this game consistently. This was a major problem for my games for Tuesday and last Thursday, because once I started playing the demo of this is kind of the only game I really want to play right now. Like, seriously, I was like, okay, I need to play my other review game. I'll do it a little later. And I'd keep playing, and then it'd be like midnight. I'm like, oh, I really do need, I'll do it tomorrow. all of you on here know that I rarely ever do Game of the Year things. I'm pretty sure this is going to be my Game of the Year.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, none of the games I've played this year are anywhere near as fun as I've had with this game. Even when I get angry at this game, I've enjoyed it so fucking much. I fucking love this game. I've spent a couple hours in character creation. I've spent untold hours in customizing my suit since then. You have stations that you can build up that, like, you can get resources from and you can heal yourself at. You can edit those banners on those even. I have spent so much time editing stuff just because it's like, oh, there's so much I can just make things look how I want. It's so cool. And then, oh, I love this fucking game so much. I cannot explain to you how much I fucking love this game.
I can tell. I'm guessing you're enjoying this one a smidge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe
a little. What version were you provided with for the review? Was it the base game, or were you given a deluxe edition?
I got the base edition. I'm 99% sure. I'll go check to be sure, but I'm pretty sure it was the base version.
Because I was going to see if any of the extra content might be worth it, but if...
No, I have the base version.
Sucks for you, ha! Huh?
Yes, it does.
I sold my Switch so I could buy the deluxe edition of this. Like, Jacob,
what's in the deluxe edition so I know how much I need Jacob to kick you in the nuts next time he sees you?
Digital deluxe edition contents at launch. The base game, a special weapon effects set, and an arsenal skin set. And then later, there will also be a Sovereign Axiom outfit set, a Reclaimers outfit set, and the Into the Abyss expansion pack.
Oh, I am so jealous. Because those are going to look pretty. Lots of that is just cosmetics, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I am sure that expansion. Oh my god, I didn't know this game was getting an expansion. Oh, I need that.
Yep.
Oh, I need that so bad. Yeah, go buy that. Go buy that edition because you're going to like this.
About to touch yourself.
I know. Like, I've never heard her this excited about a game that didn't involve porn.
I'm a little afraid. I'm not going to lie.
I think the last time I talked this positively about the game was SD Gundam Battle Alliance, and that was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. I don't get as excited as I am for this about most games.
So anyway.
Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. Daemon X Machina Titanic Scion clocks in at $69.99. The deluxe edition is $89.99. A super digital deluxe edition, which includes an art book and soundtrack, is $99.99. What are your thoughts on everything?
Go spend $100. Go spend $100. It's worth it. This is an amazing game.
I spent $90. I wasn't. Like, I didn't care about the art book and soundtrack.
I don't care about
being a savvy consumer.
Yeah.
I don't care about the soundtrack very much, but everyone here knows me. I don't really listen to the music in games too often. But I am sure that art book is going to have so many beautiful pictures in it because this game is so fucking gorgeous. Oh, I kind of want that too.
On Steam, I can understand going that route because usually you get like MP3s of the soundtrack and maybe like a PDF or something of all the art. On Xbox, like, you gotta load up an app for that shit, and I just don't care enough.
Oh, I didn't know that. I figured it just like, opened
go to your
up.
Okay. Go to your app section, like you're available, like you're ready to install apps. And based on games that you've gotten through the show, you might have some soundtracks and art books waiting in there to install and look at.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I dropped the $90 and it sounds like it was worth it.
100%.
Jacob's old roommate, John, actually is buying my Switch.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I'm trying so hard not to start playing this while we're talking. I am trying so hard. You have no idea how difficult this is.
You're right. I have a fucked up arm and haven't played games in like 4 months. I don't know what it's like to want to play stuff.
I keep telling you, play some Disney Dreamlight Valley.
No, I'm good. I tried it. It didn't click with me. I don't know.
Well, now you got a perfect chance to give it a go.
I could replay Earthbound on Super Nintendo, and that's one-handed.
All right, then do that, you bitch.
Yeah, I will. My Switch is right there. I'll just fucking play it now.
Two-fingered, probably.
Next game to talk about, The Nightling, developed by Twirlbound, published by Saber Interactive, released August 28th, Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Sir Lionstone, the most powerful knight and protector of the great city of Klesia, hasn't returned from his latest quest. Sir Lionstone's trusted knightling, it's up to you and the legendary shield he left behind to become the hero the people need and find Lionstone before lurking threats endanger the realm. Explore the many regions and secrets of the lands of Klesia, fend off bandits and monsters, and uncover the truth of the shield's unparalleled power and the realm's illustrious past. Jacob, what is The Nightling?
So The Nightling is this action adventure, also a little bit of a platformer, like an exploratory platform. Open world would actually even be a better description for it. And my kids actually were like, oh, this kind of looks like Breath of the Wild. They were playing that on the Switch. And they noted some similarities to it. So in case you need an idea for gameplay, but you play as this knightling who is like, a apprentice to a knight, and mostly all you do is just carry around his stuff, but you know, you're gaining experience by helping him out during stuff and carrying his crap. And there are these like earth monsters, which are essentially giants. And they kind of look like rock giants, but it, yes, injury unique.
Unique.
You're going about on this patrol. You spot one, and your liege tries taking this thing down, and he disappears over a cliff. And you don't know what's happened to him. And so you have to go back to town with all you have is his glove and the sword and the shield that he used to protect you at the last second. And you have to go off and essentially it's now your responsibility to be this kingdom savior. At first, not so much, because people are like, yeah, you're a little puny guy, whatever. But as you go through the land and start helping people, whether it's through quests or just taking down monsters, there's also a lot of exploring that needs to get done in this game, because you earn this experience point kind of stuff. I forget what the heck they call it. It's like Knight's Praise or something like that. Because the first time you get it is like the knight praising you, and you're like, huh, I have this experience points now. What you could do with that is use that to upgrade your abilities. Which some of them are shield related, some of them are like power related. But you learn how to defend yourself and also do offense with this shield. So if you want to imagine yourself as medieval Captain America, you can do that with this game. Like the world is your oyster in this. Like it's open world, so you can just run around and like, you know, attack baddies. You can go off on like little missions. You could like scoot around the thing by riding your shield, or you can even do gliding stuff later on in the game. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. My kids are looking to get into this next. It is kid friendly. I haven't noticed like any like real overt violence, and the language seems fine.
Yeah, it's rated E10 for fantasy violence and an alcohol reference. So
Okay. I don't think I've run into the alcohol reference, but it's probably just like
a tavern.
Yeah, but like a beer. Yeah, or something like that. There is customization options that you can, that if you get farthings for, you can use those, but I haven't really found a use for them other than achievements. So I think they're going to be optional. But this is a game I'm going to be keeping on my Xbox. Like, I'm having a lot of fun with it. My only real option my only real like negative complaint about this game is that the camera can be janky as hell. And it can make
some in a 3D game. What?
It really makes some of the platforming areas, like where you're trying to like get up, like scale these cliffs to like get some of the more, some more of the Knight's Praise. Cause of course that's like hidden on the rooftops and valleys all over the place and behind waterfalls, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it can make some of the puzzles, which are jumping based, like it can make them absolute hell. Other than that, like I'm loving it. Like, this is a lot of fun.
Very cool. I want this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is, everything like, I've seen, I really want to pick this one up. It clocks in at $30 if you pick it up in the next couple of days. You could get it at least on Xbox for $23.99. They also have a deluxe edition with some bonus skin stuff for a few more dollars. But $30 on this one, what is your official verdict?
Absolutely. This is a lot of fun. If you're itching for some Zelda-like action on the Xbox, this is a good game to check out.
Sweet. All right, next up, Bad Cheese, developed by Simon Lukasik, published by Feardemic, released September 1st, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $12.99. Bad Cheese is a psychological horror inspired by the eerie charm of a 1920s animation. Step into the tiny paws of a mouse spending the weekend at home with a dysfunctional dad while mom's away. Be on your best behavior and keep daddy happy. That sounds weird. Brie covered this one. Aki, you have her notes, correct?
Yep.
Talk to us. What is Bad Cheese?
Okay. Sorry in advance to everyone, especially Brie, since I'm the one doing this. But as the description says, this is a horror game based on 1920s animations like Steamboat Willie, who appears later in the game because it's in the public domain now, which is really awesome. I was not expecting to read that. The title screen is a treat if you like old cartoons like Brie does. There is film grain, which you can turn off, thankfully. The music has the hiss and pop of an old record, and the titling with the dev and publisher looks perfectly out of an old cartoon title card. So this gives you a lot of nostalgia. Woohoo! The game stars little Kemek, a rather chunky mouse who needs to be on his best behavior. We start out trying find... Yeah.
He's fat!
Fair. We start out trying to find our Mumsy, who is a cow? I think Dad is a dog? What the fuck? I feel like I'm having a stroke reading this. Okay.
Very good.
The characters are made to be quite animated and grotesque. It reminds her of some early Ren and Stimpy close-ups from in 1920 style. The game is first person. If you can imagine this perspective of a toddler with their hands out grabbing at the world, that's what we get cartoon style. All right. Every time you get a new quest, a little cuckoo bird comes out of a little clock. The atmosphere is eerie and dark. You're in a big house and you need to find your way around and work on your objectives. It starts off simple and you got to tidy up all the shoes and clean the kitchen, do little tasks like that, and then gets a lot harder. It's clear that you're doing it because you feel daddy's wrath. And that was a lot of the psychological horror in this. The idea that we're in this happy little cartoon landscape, and it's turned dark and foreboding. And the idea that we're in a domestic situation like this, that we fear more than the spooky corners of this impossible house, that's the horror. So that sounds scary. Okay. Some of the moments of horror were kind of laughable. There are spiders that come and attack your face like little face-hugging lampreys. But when they're on the ground, they are little soot critters with cartoon boots and too many eyes. And after the initial jump scare, it made Bree giggle. There are boss fights, like a giant spider queen, that you'll get given hints on how to defeat more easily.
I like that we could audibly hear your shudder when you said spider.
I don't like spiders. I don't like spiders. There are secondary objectives to find all the snacks, which are bags of chips and kielbasa. There are toy action figure collectibles as well. You'll find things with your very stunted jump, a crouch, and a run. I should say you can run, but you have limited stamina as a fat little mouse. Almost everything is openable, doors, cabinet drawers, etc., etc. The further you get into the game, the more complicated the quests become. You'll have to solve some puzzles to get through the laundry area and defeat the sock moths. That is a very strange sentence. All right. This game is split up into levels. I wish there was a level select. Oh, that sucks. Because there are times you can get trapped in a new area of a level without having found a collectible and can't go back, as there are achievements for finding all the collectibles. Ooh, hopefully they add that in a patch at some point, because that always blows donkey balls. There is voice acting in this, which was okay. The art and music are on point for the old cartoon aesthetic, and it is all hand-drawn. There is a screen when you exit the game that says, "Public Domain, Sue!" And it looks like the end screen of an old Looney Tunes cartoon. Damn, they're really going at it. I like that. I'd say this game is good more for its darker side of nostalgia for early silly symphony type cartoons than it is for straight horror. I enjoyed the overall vibe in the quests. Gave me a reason to bother going through the landscape they designed. I like that the further you went, the weirder it got. This is no Bendy and the Ink Machine for building suspense and spurring you on, but I had a lot of fun with this one. The price is right, I'd say buy it. So, ask the question.
$12.99. I can't ask Bree, so Brocky. Is it worth $13?
Yes, it is. Totally. I love it. So she says.
This one, I've had my eye on this one for so long, but the first person, I don't know if I'll click with it.
You have a tendency to get sick with first person games too, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I question whether you'd be able to handle it, honestly. I think you'd probably get sick. Knowing you. It's... even if you possibly wouldn't get sick, you'd still get sick because it is you.
True. Next game to talk about is Heading Out, developed by Serious Sim, published by Crunching Koalas, released August 29th, Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $19.99. Flee your fear and carve your story. Blaze a trail across mythic American highways where choices twist your tale. Danger's always in the rearview mirror. With roguelike routes, limited resources, and breakneck chases, this isn't just a drive, it's your legend in the making. Jacob, what's Heading Out?
So, Heading Out is half visual novel, a little bit management sim, not really, but, you know, you could kind of say it is. And the rest of it is black and white driving. So you are playing as this driver who is being haunted by his fears, and you decide that you're going to just get up and leave and like run away, like literally run away from your fears, drive away more correctly, but why split hairs? And there is the greatest racer in America, and you're going to go take him on. And the game is very clearly based on 70s and 80s car movies. I noticed a lot was very reminiscent of Vanishing Point, if you've ever seen that movie. Either of you?
No.
It's an amazing movie. You need to go see it. Like, legit one of the best car race movies of all time. And it's got Cleavon Little from Blazing Saddles. Nice. He plays the DJ Super Soul. Ah, it's so good. Anyway, much like in Vanishing Point, there is a DJ that somehow is kind of like communicating with you and like kind of giving you like the lowdown as to what's happening, but she's also like discussing what she could find out about you. And as you're going through the countryside, you have all these decisions to make. As you go into town, like you might be driving past an abortion center and like this pastor's yelling at a young woman as she's trying to go in. Like, do you do nothing? Do you help her? Like, what do you do? And all of the these over, decisions. Right? No, you just end up yelling at him and he backs down. Yeah, I know. But anywho, but all of these decisions actually do matter. And one of the interesting things that I didn't really play that much with was that there in the settings, there's actually also hidden like effects that you can decide whether or not you want them to actually affect your story or not. Like even further, like you won't be able to determine yourself how exactly this is going to mess with everything. And so, yeah, you're going to be running into a lot of that stuff, but there is, it's all broken up by these different car races. Sometimes it's a car chase. Either way, you're on the run from everybody. And the game takes a very monochromatic, black and white, like world, which art style, it looks very nice. It looks very beautiful. The only color is like police sirens or like road signs, and it really takes a lot of getting used to it because it's real easy to miss the road signs, and like you'll just end up causing a collision because you didn't notice that like a certain road was closed because you could barely see any of the signs, and it can make it difficult. And what makes that even worse is that this is a roguelite. And so you can die. You can, like, your story can end. Now, generally the game will let you like replay it if you want to, but you could die and like your fear just catches up with you and that's it, buddy. Like, and so I like the idea of this game. I really do, but it feels like the racing is, it becomes unnecessarily hard, even on the easy mode, because of how much the scenery just like it all just blends in. And so it's real hard to see, like, you know, if only part of a sign is colored in, or it's only like the police sirens that are like far in the background. Like, it's, it gets real difficult to see where you need to be going in this game. Other than that, I mean, like, the car handles fine. It's just, it's one of those things where the style kind of won out over substance on this.
Gotcha.
In terms of life. The story, like, the story's interesting. Like, I really enjoyed it. But I wish they could do something about the look of the game. I don't know how the hell you do it without overhauling quite a bit of it, but, like, we need more color.
All right. $20. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd be all right with paying $20 for this game. I liked it.
Jazzy. Sounds good. Next up, The Nameless City, developed by Parad Knight Studio, published by Sometimes You. Released September 2nd, Xbox One, Series X and S, Xbox PC, Switch, PS4, PS5, $9.99 each. Narrative-driven first-person horror adventure inspired by Lovecraft's short novel, The Nameless City. Oh, that's a shock. Where'd that name come from? Explore the ruins of a city that some say they are older than humanity itself. While you delve deeper into the ancient buildings, reality and visions blend in an indistinct haze. Bree covered this one. Aki, read the notes. Tell us what's going on with The Nameless City.
I will attempt to. This is a story based on the original Lovecraft story of the same name. The game is akin to a walking simulator. It is first person and narrative or exploration focused. There is little more to do than just walk and explore. There is a crouch and a torch with good lighting effects. There are some things to find and some puzzles to navigate through. This game, while fairly well designed to guide you to the next area, is not completely linear, which led to me getting stuck horribly in the game on my first playthrough. The art is pixely first person Doom era graphics with some cool effects. There is a sandstorm raging in the desert where you are exploring, and it is purple and swirling and beautiful. I have to agree, purple is the most perfect of colors. As you get a little further into the game, you have a sanity meter, and there are purple swirling lines that appear on the screen as your sanity diminishes based on your actions. I thought the visuals were really good within the boundaries of this style. The sanity meter is a cool function to the game as well. When you do things like use found glyphs, your meter wanes. Eventually, if you run out of sanity, you'll black out and end up back at camp, where you kind of have to start all over in the main area with your exploration. The city doesn't like to be explored at night, and your sanity will decline once the sun goes down too. Yay, I loved time mechanics. There is some voice acting, which was done well for a title at this price point. The rest of the narration is done in text. There was care taken in preserving the tone of Lovecraft's original material, and even includes some direct quotes like, "That is not dead which can eternal lie, and with strange aeons even death may die." The audio was also well done in terms of wind and atmospheric tone. There is suspenseful music that builds when you get close to something important. I recommend headphones, and so does the game. They did a great job with the vibe of this game. If you like Lovecraft stories, I'd give this a look. While the graphics aren't realistic and the stylized pixels are a delight, especially the strange visions you'll get when your sanity is expended, or when you find a new glyph or something, the use of purple and other unusual colors for lighting, the way they go through the strange landscape, is wonderful. There were some pitfalls to the game. I mentioned getting stuck. There was a point of no return that I could not, and I could not figure out how to proceed. Thinking I'd missed something and gotten softlocked, I restarted the game, and nope, I had to look up a video on how to handle the situation. Turns out I missed something really oblivious called ducking. Even the guy in the video got stuck there for a while, so I don't feel too bad. After that, it was smooth sailing, though. And now, ask the question.
The game is $10 per platform. What do you think of this one?
I'm giving this a try it. There were a lot of things done really well, but that stuck point really soured my experience. The vibe was excellent. The use of sanity meter was an excellent mechanic. The exploration was solid, even though it was fairly linear. So it's a try.
Sounds good. Let's move on. Next up, Arcade Archives 2, Scrambled Egg. Developed and published by Hamster, released August 28th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5 for $9.99. Scrambled Egg is an action game released by Technos Japan in 1983. Pick the eggs to crack them open and hatch chicks, then launch all the new chicks into the sky. Red chicks and chickens will help you take down enemies. Be sure to take good care of them. Jacob, what is Scrambled Egg?
So Scrambled Egg is one of those weird arcade titles that only really could have come out of like the 70s and 80s when it was just, yeah, we're going to throw these random things together, kind of like Burger Time or now Scrambled Egg. And you play as this, whatever the heck your little character is. But what you have to do is that you have to get these eggs hatched. And how you do that is that you kick them, which doesn't seem like a good way to treat eggs, but okay. So you have to kick them once. And then if you kick them again, it makes the chick come out and then fly away. And meanwhile, you have these enemies that are floating around the, not floating, they're walking, walking around the board, kind of like the Pac-Man ghosts. Mm-hmm. And they're walking around the board and they are either chasing you or they are resealing the eggs so the chicks can't escape. And so you have to avoid them and, you know, go around and keep hatching as many eggs as you can. It's honestly kind of addictive. It was better than I was expecting. It's one of those basic but very challenging games. I could see this thing eating up a ton of quarters. Even though, like, I don't know how, like, it just feels real weird playing, like, an arcade game. Yeah, man, you have to kick all the eggs and, like, you know, hatch them. That's how you do it as a farmer. It just feels real weird doing that. But, honestly, it's a pretty entertaining game. Nonsensical, you know, stuff aside, I thought it was pretty challenging and well worth your time to check out. Like, this is, I'd honestly say it's a hidden gem.
Jazzy. $10 on this one. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I'd be cool with spending $10 on this. I like it.
Such a weird one to put in this collection. I'm glad
it's a weird. Yeah, it's a weird game, period, dot. Like,
but I hope this is a sign that we're getting like all the Arcade Archive releases from now on. That'd be great.
I really hope so, because I'm a big fan of pretty much everything that they've released. And it's one of those things where it's just like even the games that like I'm not really that big of a fan of, like I still recognize the importance that we're breathing life back into these kind of titles. And so I honestly really like the mission of this series.
Very good. Next game, Dragon Snack, developed and published by Aphil Games. Released September 3rd, Xbox One, Series X and S, Xbox PC, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99 each. Get ready for a puzzle filled with fire, coins, and clever decisions. In Dragon Snack, you don't control the dragon, you prepare the path. Rotate and place hexagonal tiles to build a perfect trail that leads the creature to its golden nest. But watch out, traps are scattered along the way and only powerful fire gems can destroy them. Collect coins, plan your route carefully, and when everything is set, unleash the dragon to see if your strategy works. Aki, Jacob, both of you covered this. Jacob, I know you unleash your dragon nightly, so we'll let Aki start off on this one. What is Dragon Snack?
You know, usually people tell you, they're like, oh, you just told everything, but legitimately...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's literally nothing else to this, folks. You rotate tiles, and you move tiles. You create a path, you try to collect all the coins, and in between blocks of wood, you try to collect fire gems. And you make sure the little dragon or dragons in later levels can get their way home. That's all there is to this, folks. It is a very simple game, very simple premise.
This is similar to what, like the, is it Bee Flowers? Was that the?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Something like that. And the fairy one before that.
And the pirate ship one, and
about half the other rest of their catalog, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's been one with bears.
I think these are, I'll take these over Sokoban. I'll say that.
Oh God, yeah, all day, every day.
Yeah,
like
I like both of them. I think they're both fine. I don't mind, but they're very.
Fuck yourself.
You know what, Aki? You're the kid who likes playing with parachutes in gym class.
What's that?
You don't know what a parachute is?
I know what it is when you're jumping out of an airplane, but inside of a gym class, no, not a clue.
Oh, they would. You know, you have to like raise it above your heads and then like run underneath and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that thing. Okay, I did that once or twice.
Yeah, that was like the lamest shit ever.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. When I was doing that, it was like early elementary school, and it was fun because.
Yeah,
I mean, anything was fun at that age, realistically speaking.
I like playing fruit basket and picking something like kiwi, so no one knew what the fuck you were picking, and you never got called.
What?
You never played fruit basket in gym?
Never heard of it.
Oh, yeah, I've never
heard of it. In the middle, everyone picks a fruit, and if they call your fruit, you have to run across and not get tagged.
So that's why you're so fat.
A little
I had to. That little, was so little, perfect.
Little Joe's there just like, cheeseburger for the last, for the last time, Joe. Cheeseburgers are not fruit.
That's what you think. Tell me more about Dragon Snack, if you can.
That was literally it. That's all there was to the game.
All right, $5. What do you think?
Yeah,
it's fine. I'm for it. Yeah,
it's cool for $5. Like, is it going to set your world on fire? No, but is it entertaining? Yeah, absolutely.
You get your
achievements and you get your $5 worth of entertainment out of it. Like,
there's only one drawback to this. Realistically, is like
it's music.
No, I don't listen to the music. So I don't have to suffer through that. It is that in lots of these games, there's multiple different types of things that you have to go through. So, like in one of these, you had like an ice cream or something, and you had to chill them so they could go through fire or heat them up so they could go through an icy area. This one has logs and a fire gem, and that's it. There's nothing extra. So it's a little more simplistic than some of the other ones have been, which kind of makes me sad. I would have liked them to have some other types of problems that you had to get through by using other types of gym or something. Would have been kind of cool.
There wasn't enough plot in this tile rotating puzzle tile game that AFIL released yet again.
Yeah. Less than usual, which is painful.
I made the YouTube image. You guys want to look at the stream? I'm going to call the episode Silk Song Crashed Our Episode.
That's perfect.
That's pretty good.
And you're on there, Jacob.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I see my head. I had to actually like... Oh, God, wait a second.
What?
Okay. Yeah, no, I thought I had seen my head in like a smaller image, and then like I backed up even further, and it was like, oh my God, there's my head. And there's Joe's head, side, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. Oh God.
All right, final pack to talk about tonight. We are going to discuss a 4-pack of games from our friends at Zetalon. They also hooked us up with a code for each of the packs to give away. And at the end of the music later on, we're going to pick a winner, and you're going to get like 40 games or something out of this. There's
it's what, more like, than 10.
There's 2 games per pack, each with 3 stacks, I think.
Perfect. I think one of them has more than that even.
I think I Love has all 3.
It does.
With all 3 stacks. Let's dive into these with I Love Season 3, developed by Luvik Sama, published by Zetalon, released September 9th, so it'll be out next week on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Xbox PC for $5 each. New season of a game about love. Swap blocks to help hearts have a date, but avoid the black heart, spikes, and other obstacles. Optional challenge, make the hearts meet specifically in a romantic zone. Special part of some of the levels. I know the last one of these was pretty tough for everyone on the show. Was this one any easier?
No.
No.
After we did our review of the last one, they did mention, oh no, we didn't realize it was this hard. The problem is they had already basically finished
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, this is also...
This did not get any easier.
Well, what is it? Explain it.
You move tiles around and the hearts are drawn to each other like magnets, and you have to avoid them slamming into spikes and the like, and get them to where they meet up. The end. It's a very simplistic game. Sounding, anyways. It is very difficult when you actually have to play it.
Yeah, it sounds simple enough, and then you like start playing it, and you're like, oh, fuck no, what did I do?
Yeah, basically. That is the crux of this entire game. Oh, fuck, what did I do?
A very, very hard series.
This is one of those things where I'm just gonna have to look up like somebody's like YouTube
link. They sent us a link. I gave you guys a link to the walkthrough.
Yes.
Did it help at all? Yes, Jacob, I did.
Oh.
It helped a little. It's still a hard game because I don't like using the walkthrough until I have no other option.
Yeah.
Well, I'm dumb and missed it, so.
GG. All right, well, season 3's $5. What do you think on this one?
No.
Do you like torturing yourself?
No. No, I don't.
Yeah, this is a tough series. But next game is Void Source, developed by Luvixama and Xenolon, published by Xenolon, released August 27th, Xbox One, Series X and S, and Xbox PC for $2.99 each. Classic multi-directional shoot 'em up. Navigate your UFO through hazardous environments with dangerous enemies and beat huge bosses. Jacob, this sounds a little more enjoyable. What's going on in Void Source?
So Void Source is a horizontal shmup where you are flying this... It's supposed to be some sort of like futuristic spacecraft, and you're taking down... You're trying to take down like the enemy, like I don't know if they're robots or aliens or whatever things, and you have the ability to aim like way more than you would in a normal shmup, but honestly it ends up becoming more infuriating than fun. There are various levels that you can access right from the get-go, which is nice because then you get a little bit of change of scenery, but then it's just like, this is a train. This is not this is a cityscape. This is a countryside. Like it doesn't really add all that much to it. And honestly, like half the time I couldn't tell where the hell my gun was aiming. And so it felt like I was, because you're able to aim like all over the damn place. And it just ended up feeling like anything that I shot down was by pure luck. So I wasn't having fun with it.
Unlike Jacob, I am what they refer to as competent. I actually really liked this game. I 100%ed it on both the Xbox and the Xbox Series versions. I thought both of them were really good. I have not gotten it to work on the PC. It just doesn't load for some reason, so I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah, it just opens and it's just a black screen and it doesn't move. I don't know. I haven't had that issue before, so I'm gonna try deleting it again, reinstalling, hoping that fixes it. I don't know. But yeah, you go around. You have a whole bunch of upgrades that you can buy for the ship that are just different shooting mechanics, and you can activate and deactivate them so that you're like, oh, I bought this one, I end up not liking it, I don't want it to appear in the level, I don't want to get this weapon because it sucks ass. You can just turn it off, and that's fantastic. I fucking love that. The amount of points you get are based on what your score is at the end of the level. The more times you hit things in quick succession, the higher the multiplier is for your points, so you get a shit ton more. And there is, you can beat this in under an hour, 100% it. And that requires you to beat all the levels and buy all the items in it, and you can still do it in under an hour. So, I like it. I think it was fun.
It's a nifty little game.
$3 on this one. What do you two think?
Jacob, you go first.
I'd pass on it, but I mean, Aki apparently had a lot of luck with
even
it.
Even at $3, you don't think that's like a fuck it, why not at that price?
Honestly, like it really didn't. Like, Bummer. I was hoping to like it because I like shmups, but this one I didn't like the controls and I didn't like how I couldn't figure out what the hell I was actually doing.
Smarted by a game. Aki, your thoughts?
Oh, fuck off.
My thoughts are that Jacob got outsmarted by a game. I'm totally for it. I thought this was a great game. This was really fun for me. So I'm totally for it.
Buy it?
Yeah.
Cool. Next up, Shaman's Mask of the Rune Magic, developed by My Hazards, published by Zetalon. Released August 24th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Xbox PC, $3 each. Shaman's Mask is a non-linear platformer action game about a shaman and his mask. What?
Whoa.
Features a minimalistic melee combat system with evasion mechanics, different spells and runes to choose from, enemies and bosses with different abilities and attacking styles. What's going on in this one?
Well, in this,
Easy 1K.
Yes. And I hope it never gets an update. So in this, you play as a guy who wakes up and some of your runes are missing. Someone's stolen them. So you go out to go collect them. You move for the first time, you get an achievement. You attack for the first time, you get an achievement. You dodge for the first time, you get an achievement. You jump for the first time, you get an achievement.
I got an achievement.
Five of the achievements, I think, out of 11 in this game. You go through two screens of fighting some enemies. Mostly it's people with axes that attack you. You jump away, you hit them three times, they die occasionally. There's a larger knight with a flail and he's a douche and it takes like 9 or 12 hits, something like that, to kill him. And then there's archers who are the biggest douches of all time and they shoot you from afar and you can hit their arrow out of the air and that gives you achievement. And then you walk up and you kill the shit out of them because they're annoying little bastards. And then you continue, and then you get a choice of which rune do you want to keep, the fire rune or the electric rune. And that, you make a choice, whichever one you choose, you get an achievement. You choose the other one later, you get an achievement as well. Then you get two special magic abilities, either it's a thunder or a lightning bolt or a fire bolt. And then you're calling down lightning from the sky to strike a bitch, or you're setting the ground on fire that people have to walk through. Using each of those four abilities gets you the last four achievements. And then you can, quit immediately after using those abilities once, realistically, if you want. But if you continue, you get to make a choice of one of two places to go. Each place is different. You go to an old manor, and it has a lot of birds that come down and attack you, as well as, what's supposed to be a vampire as the boss of that area. And that fight's bullshit. Or you can go into the dark forest, and then you have a fuck ton of archers that run away until the end of the screen and shoot you as you're coming towards them, so they're a bunch of cunts. And then at the end of that, you fight a ranger, and that boss fight has bullshit. So I hope this game never gets an update because it'll probably require us to beat those bosses and that ain't fucking happening. And yeah, that's the game. I'm sure I got further in it than Jacob did.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah, I assume after you got the achievements for using the spells, you immediately quit and started a new game to get the other two spells, didn't you?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I did fuck around with them to like see like how they did and like which one I preferred. Like I didn't think that the lightning one was particularly effective.
It's shit.
It really is. Like the fire one all the way, because it's just like, yeah, this, like the lightning thing just hits one specific spot. Meanwhile, like the fire, you just need to back up and then just like you set the ground in front of you ablaze and it heavily damages most people.
Yeah, it'll kill all the axe wielding guys. Once they walk through it, they won't get to the end. It'll just kill them outright. And it'll last for four of them to go through it, typically, as long as there's four of them in a row walking towards you, which is very nice. The fire spells all take more mana, which slowly fills up, whereas the lightning takes up less, but it's also weaker garbage magic that shouldn't exist.
I was going to say, it's complete garbage and, like, just take it for the achievements.
Yeah, it tickles enemies, and they're not impressed. So, yeah, and the boss fights are just bullshit. So, if anyone beats those, then hats off to you, I guess, because I'm never going to be able to beat them.
Cool. $3 on this one.
I'm okay with that. That's it's
yeah, fine. All right.
As long as it doesn't get an update, I'm good. If it gets an update that requires you to beat those bosses, fuck
it's Zedalon. You know we're gonna get like 4 more updates to this thing.
It depends on the game, really.
I'm hoping this one doesn't. Those boss fights are unreasonably difficult.
I hope it does just to piss you off.
It probably will.
Last game in the pack, Journey of Johan Snowy Mountain, developed by Apapapa Games, published by Zedalon, released August 21st. All the Xbox platforms for $5 each. Journey of Johan is an action-adventure platformer with puzzle elements. Make your way through levels and a boss with different challenges and obstacles. Collect goblets, secrets, and beat time trials. Use your weapons as tools, such as climbing, blocking hits, and defeating enemies. This game was designed with speedrunning in mind. Jacob, Aki, did either of you speedrun this?
No, fuck that.
Didn't think so.
No, I got absolutely fucked in this game.
This absolutely fucks everybody, as far as I'm concerned. in this, you play as Joan, I assume, and you pick up weapons and you attack skeletons that come at you, or they will steal your weapon from you and kill the shit out of you because they're little bastards. You can throw that weapon to kill other enemies, as well as to throw it into walls, and you can use it to jump onto to get up higher. You can also pick it up while you're still standing on it and fall to your death, or you can quickly double jump and hopefully get somewhere else before you fall to your death.
You're going to fall to your death a lot.
Yes, you are. You're going to do it fucking constantly. Not that that pissed me off or anything, but it's going to happen a lot. There's 2 treasures that you have to find in the level, as well as another item. You collect all 3 of them. That's great. There's no achievements for doing that right now, but the first game in this does have achievements for collecting them all. So good luck, cockroaches. Go do it. And yeah, you beat the level quickly enough, you get a little trophy for it. The first level, I think, was beat it in under like 14 seconds or something. It took me 48 fucking minutes.
I can beat it in under 14 seconds.
I'm sure you can. One pump Trump.
Excuse me, I've got one hand for speed, one hand for power. That's the speed hand.
Disgusting. So yeah, you it took me 48 minutes to fucking finish the first level with all 3 of the treasures, because I kept dying that regularly. After I beat that level, I said, fuck this game, I'm done, and I quit playing. So Jacob, do you have any further thoughts on this fucking monstrosity?
No, I don't, like, because I got in the same boat too. It was just like, after a point, it just becomes like a fuck it.
Yeah, I liked half of the games in this bundle, and this is the second of the 4 that I did not like in this bundle. This game just served to really piss me off.
I gotta say, the visuals in this one don't click with me. It's just a bit too messy.
There's not a lot to it.
It's also extremely small. There's no zooming in on this. Everything is zoomed way out, and it's all fucking so goddamn small.
I was in the pool.
$5, verdict.
There was shrinkage. No.
Oh, that took me a minute. I was having so much trouble trying to figure out what the fuck you were talking about. Ew. This is definitely a deny it for me. I don't like this game fucking at all. This was a miserable game.
Cool.
Yeah, no.
Good. Fucking good for both of you.
I didn't get any achievements, so especially good for me. So,
Deserve it.
Yes, I deserve to have no achievements in this game. I 100% agree.
All right, we're done. That is it for this episode.
Oh, dang. This might be like the quickest episode of all time.
No, no. We have sub-hour episodes. Sub-hour episodes. Yes.
Yeah. I think there's one that's only like 42 minutes.
I don't think it's 42. I'm going to have to look this shit up now. Bye.
Yes, you are.
We are done with the episode. Big thanks to the two of you for being here, hanging out this whole time. Big thanks to Bree for coming on, doing what she could. Hopefully she is feeling better and will be with us next week. Not sure what I'm going to do for music. I'm going to see what I could find, but done. It's a quick one. We're finished. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Zillion, Venus. Make no. better games than Joanne, please. This game was misery-inducing.
Zillion didn't make it. They just published it.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell the devs to
get their make shit it together.
Yeah, that game was. Oh, how does anyone speedrun that fucking game?
Oof. I think you two should get your shit together.
My shit is together, and his is all over the place. He poops.
No, it isn't. I poop in the toilet. Thank you very much.
Sure, you do.
Sometimes in the yard, whatever.